Hello and welcome to the Intentional Manifestation Podcast, where we talk about all of the things that help us to manifest an aligned life that's beyond our wildest dream. My name is Megan, and I'm your host for this podcast. I use neuroscience, epigenetics, somatics, energetics, and holistic nutrition to help my clients completely shift their perspective so they can transform their life.
Mindset is everything, but let's face it, very few people actually have the tools to make lasting change. Enter the Highest Self Academy. We use neuroscience to dive deep into the subconscious mind, helping you to let go of the limiting beliefs holding you back and to rewire your mind for success. The best part, it's only $47 a month with the flexibility to cancel anytime, and you get a 7-day money back guarantee. Oh, and here's an exclusive offer just for our podcast listeners. Find the link in the show notes to get $10 off your membership each month. So what are you waiting for? Dive in and start your journey to a better you today.
Hello and welcome. On this week's episode, I chatted with Sloan Elizabeth, a food freedom and intuitive eating coach. We talked all about how the root cause of food eating, overeating, diets is actually based on things that have absolutely nothing to do with eating or food at all. It was a really interesting conversation, and I can't wait for you to dive in, see how our limiting beliefs in all senses affect how we eat our food and the control that we think we gain by dieting, binging, and obsessing with our food and what we eat. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Share who you are, what you do, and why you're here.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, yes, thank you for having me. So I am a food freedom and intuitive eating coach, and I help women heal their relationships with food by combining science with spirituality. So I help women who meet struggle with binge eating, restricting food rules, emotional eating, all that jazz. And we combine nutrition with neuroscience and psychology, but also dive really deep into some conscious reprogramming, inner child healing, spirituality, chakra work. I'm a Reiki practitioner as well. And so, it really has nothing to do with food when we get down to it, if we really want to be eating intuitively. And I struggled with my own relationship with food and body image. And so that healing journey is what led me to create my method of eating with love and intuition, because I realized that the reason why I was restricting, the reason why I felt out of control with food, had literally nothing to do with food. And once I was able to really go deeper, understand what the subconscious roots were, how they were impacting not only, you know, food, but other areas of my life, that's when I really healed. And I realized that people weren't talking about it that way. And so I had to share with the world.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so true. Like, we have all these beliefs about the world. We have all these beliefs about the world, and food is just like a neutral element, right? Like, it's not good or bad, but we put an energy on it based on what we believe and all the stuff that we've gone through. And I'd love if you wanted to expand like on that and your journey and finding your method.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just wrote a post about the neutrality of food compared to the neutrality of money, because they're very similar. Both are just sources of energy, but both have a lot of taboo, a lot of emotions, a lot of stuff around them. And so, you know, actually money and my relationship with money was something that I ended up healing simultaneously during my food freedom journey, for that exact reason. So you're right. Food is just neutral. Everything is neutral until we assign a value to it. So I always give the example of broccoli and my grandfather. So he passed away a few years ago when he was like 95. Like, he made it a long time. And so, you know, towards the end, he was on a lot of different medications. And some of those medications were blood thinners. And so for a variety of reasons, dark leafy greens were not something that he could eat. It was not healthy for him to eat broccoli, to eat kale, to eat spinach. And so you might say, oh, like, broccoli is healthy. as a blanket statement, but for him, it was not healthy. Even if there are all of these vitamins and minerals, it was not healthy for him. So when we're looking at our relationships with food, I always prompt my clients to go like five levels deeper. So one of my clients in the Food Freedom Collective was just sharing this belief that she's had about sugar, that she can't eat sugar because it's, quote, bad, and then it will make her fat. That was the truth, right? The old truth that she shared with me. And so she identified that this wasn't really about sugar, but it was about control and feeling out of control. It wasn't about, quote, getting fat or gaining weight. It was, oh, if that happens, that is going to make me feel out of control. And it wasn't about not being able to eat sugar. She identified that it was more of a trust issue. She was scared that she wouldn't be able to trust herself with the sugar. So then we can go layers deeper. Okay, like, where did these control issues come from? Where did these trust issues come from? Can we see other areas of life where you're struggling to trust yourself, where you're scared or worried that you're going to spiral out of control? Then we can start to rewire those deeper kind of umbrella beliefs, right? And come to this space of feeling like, okay, I can trust myself. Okay, I am safely under control. I can surrender, right? And so that's going to then allow her to eat sugar in amounts that feel good to her without binge eating, but also without worrying. And it will also help her to feel safe and under control and trusting in her career, with money, in her dating life. So that's how we start to go layers and layers deeper. And it just so happens that food is like the surface level thing that a lot of us, a lot of women, attach our wounds and our experiences to. Really has nothing to do with food, though.
I love that you're like able to help women identify with that and give them that freedom, because it's so true. And, you know, I'm a pretty like intuitive eater myself, and I'm certified in holistic nutrition. And while I try to get, like, my focus is always on like micronutrients and getting a lot of protein, but it's not really on the other stuff. And even when I'm like, okay, but I really want to like bake. And sometimes it's like, oh, but there's like a cup of sugar in this. But then I'm also like, okay, but also you're not eating like the whole cake at once. Like, you're also spreading it out into like individual portions. Like, okay, so that's like a tablespoon of sugar. And, you know, but we've just been bombarded too with like that information that sugar is bad. Sugar will make you fat. And you take on all these beliefs that aren't yours to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes with that example, it feels like it is about food. It's like, well, it is about diet culture and it is about these beliefs. But as you said, like, we are bombarded with this information, and there are some people who can hear the information and they are not triggered by it and they don't care. And they can, you know, have a peaceful relationship with food. And then there are some people that hear, oh, sugar is, quote, bad for you. And then that leads them to trigger like that perfectionism or that control. And so that is some good evidence to show us that, you know, there is a programming that's deeper that would cause someone to be triggered by that or cause someone to not be triggered by it. So again, it's not even just about the diet culture. It's like, why did I feel triggered by that, but my friend did not? And it's because of my programming around control and perfectionism and safety versus hers. So yes, diet culture in and of itself is obviously like a huge issue. And I believe that even sometimes that information we can see as neutral, and then the way that we respond to it, it's like the way that we perceive things creates our reality. And the exact same is true for food.
And diet culture is all about control in general, right? Like, you're controlling the way that your body looks, which is impossible anyways. But yeah, so that makes so much sense that it comes down to like often an inner belief over what you can or cannot control, and that perfectionism belief. And you know, I know with my clients, being able to release the belief of having to be in control has done so much for them, in sense of like being able to achieve goals and to manifest what they want, because we hold on to things so tightly. It has to be this way. It has to go this way. It's like when you give up the control of how something will happen is when everything starts pouring out. And you can look at it as like relationships too, right? It's like with a relationship, when you're like you're trying to find somebody and you're with everything, you're going on all the dates, you're doing all the apps, and you're like, you have that energy of like that lack of or that force. And that, so that's what you're doing, and you're dating all these people. But then when you like stop, the second you stop dating and you're like, I give up, I don't care anymore, that's like when everybody meets.
That's when it comes to
literally, I know. That energy of that force and that control and the need. And then it's like, oh, right?
It is so hard. And I am constantly humbled by that truth and that phenomenon. Like, even in, you know, my business, and I think this would be helpful for people in career as well. And that's the beautiful thing. Like, this is very umbrella in terms of like the deeper healing. And then it's going to help you with food. It's going to help you with dating, money, career, all the things. I will be in these seasons of feeling, you know, stuck with like a certain program that I'm launching or a certain offering that like I really want people to be in that program. And then I will take a step back and say, okay, well, if I followed like the ease, if I chose to not force and I put maybe that project in the back burner, like what other project is really calling to me? This happened literally last week. I put one focus on the back burner and I said, okay, you know what? I'm a projector in human design. And I said, I'm feeling this invitation truly to really talk about this one thing. And it was the easiest launch. It wasn't even a launch. It was like a behind the scenes thing that like instantly was halfway sold out within 3 days without me even posting about it. And it was just perfect proof that when we follow the invitation, when we follow what feels exciting, what feels intuitive, what feels aligned, forget. This is a Gabby Bernstein quote that I love, and I love Gabby Bernstein, and her books really helped me in the beginning of my like spirituality journey. She said, forget what you think you need and focus on how you want to feel. And I try to remind myself of that every single day. We think we need to lose weight in order to feel confident. Forget what you think you need. Forget the weight loss. Focus on feeling confident now. Oh, I need these clients to sign up for this thing so that I feel successful. Forget that thing. Focus on being successful now. This is how we manifest. And this is also just how we create aligned relationships with food, with money, with other people, dating. And so it's a hard thing to remember, especially as a human, and it changes everything.
Yeah, excuse me, absolutely does. And, you know, I heard on, it was like a reel, I think the other day on Instagram, but it was a coach talking about how she wants clients who are ready to take control. Like, I know we're talking about letting go of control, but of the situation in a sense where it's like, I'm not waiting for, you know, that thing for me to happen first, that like when I, you know, book 5 clients, then I'll hire a coach. When I, you know, finally lose weight, then I'll go on my vacation or whatever it was. And
yeah,
I guess that's with me, the words that she used, but it's so true. And when we're always living for that one, never going to happen, because we, even if we do meet that goal, then I'll be like, oh, well, if I already did that, well, I can lose another 5 pounds and then I'll go, because then I'll lose it in this area or whatever, or it just doesn't happen anyways. And so you're always chasing this goal. And so it's like you're living for that moment that you're chasing instead of actually living life right now. And like, that's the biggest thing, right? Is being able to actually live your life. And excuse me, funny, because I've been struggling too. I'm like, okay, I have these programs and my mind finds it very hard to like wrap around sometimes. Like, okay, like I've got the funnel, I've got this is how people are going to come in, but then I'm like, but, and you know, sometimes it just seems so confusing. And then I just kept seeing like these messages, or like hearing these messages, and it was like, just live your life, just live your life, just live your life. And like, I do a lot of things. Like, I like to do recipes on my Instagram. Like, my programs are about achieving goals and manifesting, but like, I like to do healthy recipes. I like to do non-healthy recipes. Like, I like to do lots of a variety of things. I like to garden. And so, you know, I kind of struggled for a while. It was like, how do I make it all fit? Like, I could probably go viral doing like a recipe reel, but like, are those people going to buy my program? Like, you know, if you start thinking like all these things, and then I'm like, but can I just like do what I want to do? Like, that's what the messaging was, like, just do what you want to do. If you go, if you get like 1 million views on a recipe reel and a bunch of people follow you and still nobody buys your program, like, whatever, like, that's a future you problem anyways. But also it's like, you did something that people genuinely liked and they were engaged in and they were, you know, interested in learning about that. And they liked it enough to want to follow you for more. And so, yeah, the messaging I was hearing was like, just live your life, just show up and live your life. And I thought it was really funny because on my podcast interview last week, have you heard of Gene Keys? So like, yeah, it's like, okay, so I did, the person that I was talking to was telling me about Gene Keys. So I hadn't heard of that. So afterwards, I went and looked mine up. And I swear, like, it was crazy that my, literally said my life purpose was to live life in the moment. And I was like,
Oh my goodness.
Seeing it everywhere. And then it was like, because I would see it in like reels and stuff. And then we had this podcast interview. And then I like look up the Gene Keys because she told me to, and I'd never heard of it before. And then I saw that and I was like, oh, and like the hell's even talking about it, because it's so crazy. And then, you know, last week somebody messaged me and she was like, oh, I found your podcast and I like binged 6 episodes this week and I sent it to all my friends. And I was like, like, see, when I just like show up and I start living my life and I'm not worried about how people are going to find me and I just like put myself out there, that's when people find you. So I'm like, I stopped worrying and I just like did what I wanted to do and I wasn't worried about how people were going to get into my program. And, you know, it's funny because I'm launching a new program, like a signature program. And I've been kind of not, I wouldn't say procrastinating, but every time I like sit down, I'm like, oh, I should film today. I'm like, oh, but, you know, I want to do these things instead. Like, I want to get my podcast up. And I'm like, am I like blocking myself? But then I was like, you know what? Just trust, like trust that there's a reason that you feel this way. Cause it's not, I believe in the program fully. I know it's going to be amazing and it's going to help so many people, but I'm like, but maybe it's not like quite the right timing to launch it yet. Like normally when I launch programs, I get everything done right away and I stick it out there and I'm like, maybe I just need time. And then I just like signed up for some new things going on and I was like, okay, this is maybe where I'm supposed to be right now. Like maybe I'm just supposed to do this for a little bit, see where it goes. And you know, like anything could be that like one thing that sets you into like complete momentum in the right direction. Anything, like at any point in time, maybe it is like a recipe reel that goes viral and then people follow me and then they're like, oh yeah, I actually do want to achieve my goals. And now there are like people who do want to buy, like, I don't know, I have no idea. And when I can give up that control and say can happen however it needs to happen, instead of being like, no, they have to come in like this, they have to find me from a video talking about subconscious, like the subconscious mind, they have to find me that way, like when you just give that up and you're like, okay,
let's have fun. Yes. Yes. Something that I love about what you shared is that we get to create our own lives and we also get to surrender. And I see this as us being a co-pilot with the universe, co-pilot with our body. So at one point in time when I was struggling with food, I felt like I had to be 100% in control. I was like, I create my own reality, so I'm going to create the body of my dreams, right? Quote unquote. But then that was me gripping onto control too tightly, feeling like, as you said, I can't be confident until my body looks a certain way. So it's this fine dance of feeling like, yes, I have the power, that like fiery energy, like I create my life. And there's so much happening behind the scenes, whether it's universe behind the scenes or body behind the scenes. Like, I think that, you know, studying biochemistry really just blew my mind, like how much happens in our cells. Like, it is so wild, right? And that stuff behind the scenes that we don't even think about. We're worried about how to boost our metabolism. Like, come on. Like, right? If you actually looked at how your thyroid works, how your mitochondria work, you would be like, who am I to think that taking this powder is going to, quote, boost my metabolism? Like, yes, science gets to be a part of it. And like, there are nutrition ways to support a healthy metabolism and blood sugar balance. And, you know, I have control, but also the universe has control and my body has control. And finding that peace, accepting that, learning how to surrender some of that control while still feeling like I get to go out and do stuff. It's not about sitting back and, you know, being a couch potato, right? Quotes. But it's all of that. So I think that that's a hard quote balance for a lot of like type A ambitious women to settle into, because we feel like, well, I need to do it. I need to do this diet, or I need to like snap into it or take control. It's like, yes, and you're probably controlling too much. Then you feel out of control because you're way too attached. And this is where like the manifestation I find to be really helpful in teaching us so many lessons that can be applied to eating intuitively as well.
Yeah, I love that. And yeah, I think, you know, it's funny because I started off teaching like manifestation because I thought that was like what people like using that wording, right? Like, oh, I'm going to teach you how to manifest. And then people, I asked a poll on my Instagram, people were like, oh, no, we resonate more with achieving goals. So then I was like, oh, okay. It's like literally the same process.
Right.
You know, that I teach. It's just like, okay, you either achieve your goals or you manifest it, like depending on what feels right for you. But at the end of the day, it's like getting crystal clear about what you want to have. And then you're going to like release the limiting beliefs that come along with that. So you're getting clear and understanding like, oh, hey, maybe the reason that, you know, I haven't been able to start that business is because I have a fear of being seen. Well, maybe the same reason that I haven't lost weight is because I'm actually afraid of being seen. Like I have a client who wants to lose weight, but she's also like, she identifies as fat. And so she says, if I lose weight, then all like the fat girls will judge me for losing weight. And I like, I'll lose my identity. And it's so interesting because she's like, I want to be that version of myself, but then I'm afraid to be that version of myself. I'm afraid of being fat. I'm afraid of what people will say. And it's, you know, valid. I mean, that's a valid.
Yeah,
it's valid fear.
Just let me pause because it's like, yeah,
oops, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
But it's also like a limiting belief, right? Because the people who genuinely love you aren't going to judge you no matter what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where I find like the spirituality really helps, and just getting more clear on who is your higher self, who is your essence, like without the body. If you were just a soul floating around here and you didn't have the physical human form, like who would you be and what would living as her look like? And does it really matter what body you're in? Probably not. But if you are, you know, experiencing or following certain habits that are not in alignment with that highest version of you, when you start taking actions that are in alignment with the highest version of you, and those new actions feel really healthy, and it ends up that you release some weight that wasn't serving you, then okay, cool, fine, right? But that's the result of living in alignment. And so I see a lot of women struggle with self-sabotage in a similar vein. Like, you know, I know what a healthier, more aligned lifestyle or, you know, eating habits would look like. I know all of this. I had a client who signed up for my program yesterday. She was like, I've been dieting for over 40 years. I could write a book on dieting. Like, I know all the things. That doesn't stop me from binge eating on my husband's stash of candy that he hid from me that I found, but I asked him to hide it because I don't want to know where it is, right? It's not about what you know. It's not about just the checklist of quote healthy habits. Mm-hmm. It's about your internal reality. It's about your belief in yourself. It's about your mindset and your subconscious programs, because subconscious mind will always, always win. And this is why I see a lot of people like relapse with binge eating or restricting. They'll say, you know, I was feeling really good, and then parents got divorced. Friend got sick, like family member passed away, and now I'm binge eating or restricting again. And to me, that always indicates that it's almost like you had surgery and they didn't clean everything out. And so now there's a flare up again. It's like, okay, let's open that wound up one more time. Let's really clean it out, make sure that we have good margins, right? And then close it up. And of course, like there's always more layers of the onions to be peeled away, but I do find that the healing can be pretty permanent and like really long lasting and really profound when we are able to really go deep to some of those roots.
Hey, podcast fam, are you ready to crush your goals and manifest your dreams? Then listen up, because I've got a secret weapon to share with you. Happy Juice. Happy Juice isn't just any drink. It's a cortisol-lowering, mood-boosting elixir that supports your microbiome and enhances your gut-brain connection. And let me tell you, it's a total game changer. With clinically proven results, like a 60% decrease in irritability, 55% decrease in anxiousness, and a whopping 211% increase in positive mood, Happy Juice is the key to unlocking your full potential. Plus, you can score a $10 off discount using the link in the show notes. So why wait? Click the link, grab your Happy Juice, and start manifesting your best life today. Trust me, your future self will thank you.
Yeah, I love that example. And it's so true. And I think that is kind of what it comes down to, too, is that with every, you know, up level that we have in ourselves, there's going to be new challenges. And those wounds, like, yes, we heal from them, but they never like really go away, as in like, yes, they'll kind of flare up. But now we're more healed and we have the awareness to be like, OK, the reason that I'm feeling like this is because of X, Y, Z. And so, you know, it's okay for me to feel this way, but like I know the cause now. I know the root cause of this feeling, and then choosing your actions coming from a place of awareness rather than the way you would have been before, where you were just binge eating or restricting. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, I feel so guilty. I feel all this shame. Like I feel this and this and this, and then spiraling into more. Now you're at that healed state of awareness where, yes, even if there's a flare up, you still can go back now and say, but I know better now. I know more now. I know more about myself. Like having that deeper relationship with who I am, and then just continuing to do the work, because I believe, yes, we can heal those things. And there's still, like I said, at new up level, something else is going to trigger it in a different way you didn't know was there, or trigger that deeper level of something that's like, maybe you thought it was that the root cause was X, but like when you actually peel X back, it's like, oh, wait, it's actually Y. Like now yeah. I have to go in, you know, you thought it was shame, but it's actually like this need of control or not being safe or whatever it is, right? Like as you like heal one thing, it kind of like reveals another. And I think that as humans, we will always face that. I feel like when you no longer have anything to peel back, like that's when we get to our highest self. And I feel like as humans, do we ever really, we can work towards our highest self, but do we ever get to be our highest self? I don't know. I think like you'd have to be pretty darn enlightened to like, there's nothing, like I'm just completely perfect floating in this life and there's nothing that could affect me in any way and I will never have bad feelings again. Like I don't think personally as humans we ever get to that point, but it's something that we work towards.
I totally agree with you. And I find that the glimpses, the glimmers, the moments when it's like, wow, I feel really connected right now. I feel really empowered right now. I feel just so grateful right now. The more we can, I always say, like, turn up the volume. The song is already playing. You're already feeling good. Turn up the volume on that in that moment. Like, really just take a moment to realize, let it sink in, anchor in, lock it in, burn it into your memory. Like this feels good because, you know, we know that our brains are wired for fear. They're always going to prioritize fear and, you know, quote, negative thoughts before the positive thoughts, just because of protection. That's how we evolved and it makes sense. And that's not always the most helpful for us in our modern day society when so many things stress us out and activate that fight or flight that really thankfully are not life-threatening. So part of what I love doing to reprogram the mind and really set the mind up to prioritize abundance and wins and celebrations is that when you're feeling good, turn up the volume, anchor it in, brand that into your mind. And, you know, we also know that what you focus on grows, you know, that is going to activate the law of attraction to help you bring even more things into your experience, into your field, that also help you feel very good.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you specifically used the word anchor, because I was thinking, yes, turning up the volume is like anchoring that in. And so you can actually anchor in feelings into like your knuckles, and you can like create this like button. So there's like a technique to do it, but if you're genuinely feeling a feeling, you could tap on a knuckle. Like if you don't have any anchors, it could be anyone, and like hold down on that. Like when you're feeling these good feelings, like just like hold down on this place, and then before that feeling peaks, you just let go. And then in the future, you can recall that feeling at any time by like tapping on your knuckle. And that is such an amazing thing that everybody should try to remember to do, because the more often if you're feeling that feeling again, and it's the same feeling, or it's like a complementary feeling to that, you can reinforce that feeling in your anchor button. And then, you know, at any time. And so we've been going through not a stressful time, but like there's just some stuff that come up with my husband's work. And I have an anchor. I have two anchors on my knuckle. One is for like this calm blissfulness where it's like, hey, I feel like I'm meditating. And the other one is like just a trust that everything is going to work out. Like everything's going to be good. It's like that, like sitting in the sun where like your sun is on your face kind of joy. And so I've been just tapping on those. Like if I'm like, okay, I'm starting to feel maybe like a little bit anxious about that, like I'm trying not to think about it really, because I know everything, like consciously, I know everything will work out. And like it always has, everything has always worked out very well for us. Like it's the way it's supposed to, even when things like seem kind of shitty, they still work out. And so, I've been, yeah, just like tapping on those. And it's just like, it's so helpful to just be able to bring up those good feelings that you want, those positive feelings. And then it's like, okay, yes, that's right. Everything's fine. Like, and then the anxiety just goes away, and it's such a beautiful thing to just have that at like your availability at any time.
Yeah. One of my best friends she did her NLP certification. So she's done some anchoring with me. And I wish I know we mainly did like pinky knuckles, but I didn't write it down. And I know that you can, you know, double stack anchors, but I'm like, shoot, I wish that I'd written them down, because I totally forget about that. And, you know, with that, I think somatic healing and, you know, thinking about the body and how the body stores emotions, the body stores trauma, whether it's, you know, the positive emotions, like you're saying, like anchoring in a really beautiful feeling into a place in your body. I find that this is a missing link for a lot of women, especially when it comes to food and body image healing, because even though we're saying it has nothing to do with food, like it does have a little bit of something still to do with food and the body. And as you said, you know, a lot of times there's hiding, safety, not feeling safe to be seen, triggers with clothes, bad body image, right? Feeling like clothes don't fit. And so one thing that I love offering to women who want to get more in tune with their bodies is when you are either in the shower or right before or after, when you're already naked, you're already exposed, try to give yourself a moment just to like be with your body. It doesn't have to be in front of the mirror, but like, right, you're washing your body, you're soaping yourself down. Most of us just kind of like, you know, make it quick. But what would happen if you actually like felt your skin and you felt your body and you took that moment, whether you're soaping yourself or putting lotion on yourself, to actually like acknowledge? Because I think a lot of us, you know what, similar to money, how many people who feel a certain type of way about money, shame or anxiety, avoid looking at their bank account, right? It's like, I don't want to look. I don't want to acknowledge. I don't want to look at my body. I don't want to see. I don't want to feel that shame. But then we're just continuing to push it under the rug, put a band-aid on it, hide, hide, hide. And if you're not willing to or able to acknowledge where point A is, it's going to be very, very hard to get to point B. Imagine if I said, I want to go to Disneyland, but I won't tell you where I am right now. well, how can I give you directions to go to Disneyland if I don't know if you're even in the state of California, right? So giving yourself that space, and it can be just your daily shower. You're already naked. You don't have to make it like this whole big ritual, to just be with your body, like hands on the body. I'm a Reiki practitioner, but like, all of us have this power in our hands and it's healing. It's so, so healing, this power that we have. So if you can just give yourself that moment to acknowledge and let the discomfort come up, but to sit with your body, to touch her, to acknowledge her, that is a really, really beautiful place to start.
Yeah, I love that. And it made me think too, I think it's not endorphins. There's one of the happy hormone,
oxytocin,
that we get is through touch, right? So it doesn't have to be somebody else's touch, it can be your own touch. And so if you feel like, oh my gosh, I really just need a hug, you can hug yourself and get the same response in your body that you would by hugging somebody else. Like, that in itself is so beautiful, because we all think we need somebody else to give us that hug. And yes, there's a connection point in that too, but when we just need that like hormonal response in our body, just like, yeah, giving yourself like a big hug is so powerful. The other thing I wanted to say was that, you know, I love that you use the example of the bank account, because if you just continue to ignore your bank account and you have no idea what's going on, or if your bills are going to bounce, or what's going on, or how you can make a plan to get out of your debt or whatever your situation is, like, how, yes, it's the same thing with your body. Like, how can you improve if you have no awareness of where you currently are? Or like, that is such a big step in manifesting or goal setting too, is like, you need to know where you are in order to get to where you want to be. You can't just be like, oh, I want to have all this, but then you don't know what is stopping you from getting there, what you need to change in your beliefs to get there, what kind of steps you should take, you know? Like, how can you even move a step forward if you don't know where you are? And that's such a good example of Disneyland. It's like, yeah, how can I give you directions if I don't know where you are right now? If you don't know where you are, like, how can I tell you where to go next? Or how would you know where to go next? And you're like in the middle of a forest and there's nothing around, no pathways, like, and you want to go to Disneyland. Well, first, yeah, figure out what forest you're in.
Totally, you know? Totally. And this is such a big issue when it comes to dieting and when it comes to just like the wrong way of doing intuitive eating, I'll say. So when it comes to dieting, it's like, well, I don't want to acknowledge where I am. Just give me a diet. Like, I don't want to look at my past. I don't want to look at the subconscious wounds. Just give me a diet. And then it doesn't work. And then for people that believe or think that intuitive eating just means eat whatever you want, eat when you're craving, or what you're craving, stop when you're full, unconditional permission to eat, then it's like, okay, yeah, I'm still not going to look at that stuff. I'm just going to eat whatever I want. And then they feel more out of control, feel like you're binge eating. And now I've decided that dieting doesn't work for me and intuitive eating doesn't work for me, so I'm doomed. I hear this every single day, in my DMs. Women are like, well, I know dieting doesn't work. I've tried it all, but I did try intuitive eating. I know. And it didn't work. And it's like, well, did you heal your relationship with food, or you just like tried these surface level tips and tricks? And all of them say, okay, yeah, actually I didn't heal. What do you mean by that? And that is what drives me. That's what motivates me. That's why I'm here. And, you know, as you said, like, in goal setting, we have to know where we're at and why we're there. And it's not about, like, you know, wallowing on past mistakes or lessons that we need to learn and like, oh, I guess I'm here because of XYZ. No, like, can we have a gentle curiosity, make it neutral? Like, well, this is a subconscious route that I have. I moved around a lot when I was a kid, and so I didn't have that stability. I didn't have a lot of friends. I moved schools a lot, and so food was my comfort. Period. Like, can we just put a period on it? Not like, and that's really sad, and it makes me really sad for my inner child, and now I feel bad, and now I feel the shame coming up again. Okay, we can deal with the shame. Like, let's heal that. And let's just acknowledge first with self-awareness, the gentle curiosity, and the neutrality where you are, because now we can say, okay, yeah, so just dieting isn't going to help. Let's bring that unconditional stability back into your body, back into your root chakra. Let's give you that sense of community within yourself first and with your other people, right? To heal that inner child that felt like she didn't have any friends. That is going to do so much more for you than giving you a meal plan. Well, we have to know where you're at first.
Yes. And you know, that made me think of people will do anything they can to avoid discomfort. And so that is why we treat symptoms and not root causes, because it doesn't have to be painful to treat a root cause, but there is discomfort because we're going in and we're really taking a look at who we are, the experiences that cause the whatever it is, our triggers in our present life. And that is not comfortable. You know, it's not comfortable even to like what you were saying about people would just say, oh, I just want to go on a diet. Like, I just want to lose this weight. A diet is like treating the symptom of what is actually going on. And so instead of treating the root cause, and the thing is that people who like go on a medication instead of treating the root cause, like, okay, I have insomnia, so I'm going to go on this this sleep medication, and then I'm going to be on it for the rest of my life where I will never sleep again. Like, it's not a, oh, I'm going to heal your insomnia. It's like, I'm going to treat it by putting you to sleep through medication. And so the difference is that when you can go to the root cause, like, oh, well, what is insomnia? You know, is it, do you have an issue with your gut? Is there some trauma there that's like stuck in your body that's causing you to not sleep? Like, identifying the root cause, and there's probably, you know, multiple root causes in the sense of something's going on in your body. There's emotions stuck in your body. Like, it's a full body experience where it's a mind, body, and soul, right? So what is it that's causing that? Treat those. And yeah, I'm not saying that those are comfortable things. Like, if you're experiencing insomnia because, well, one, gut health, you know, like, that's not super fun to heal often, because there's a certain way like that you have to eat to heal your gut or take supplements. But, and then to treat insomnia through emotions, well, now you have to go back and experience, like, we're not re-experiencing traumatic events. Like, so through neural energetic encoding, we can discover a root cause of a limiting belief or a trigger, but we don't have to re-experience it. But it's still, people feel discomfort in having to go back and kind of face that. And so I'm here to say it's not actually uncomfortable, because the way that you do the technique is not, but it can feel that way, right? And so we have to stop treating symptoms and start treating root causes in all things in life, not just like even with money. Like, what's the root cause of this, instead of treating the symptom? Like,
yeah, I do know. And I do hear from, you know, sometimes my clients will say like, oh, kind of nervous to open this can of worms. I feel like it's going to be heavy. I feel like it's going to be a lot. And sometimes it is heavy because you've been suppressing and numbing for a long time. And, you know, another little tool that I'll offer is I really love using like white light bubbles as energetic protection, whether I'm protecting myself, like doing a Reiki energy session on someone, or I'm just in a situation that I kind of feel uncomfortable, or I want to set like some boundaries and I know that the people around me won't listen, so I set energetic boundaries, I use this bubble. And so if you know, okay, I'm about to sit down and do like some shadow work, or I'm about to sit down and do some inner child healing, and like I'm kind of nervous will come up, as you said, Megan, like, we don't want to re-trigger ourselves. We don't want to feel like we're in a flashback. So doing a mini ritual, it can be a little meditation. It can also take like 3 seconds once you know how to do it, and create a white light bubble, or call upon your spirit team, like any angels you have, whatever floats your boat, bring that in first, and then dive into the practice. And that can help you feel a lot safer, a lot more, almost like there's a little veil between you and the experience or the memory that you're diving into, and that can help. And then I also have a client who I think it's so epic. She really said, you know what, I'm going to have a lot of fun with this. Like, I am going to have fun rewriting and like being like an like a archaeologist and excavating. And she created this whole Notion like system for my program, and like with categories and labels. And she is having the time of her life, I swear. And it's all about your mindset. It's all about your perception. Your perception dictates your reality. And so I feel the same way. Like every time I join a program, even if it's some if it's a program that's not like strategy, it is healing. I really feel like it's fun. I don't know. I love learning about myself. I loved like personality quizzes when I was younger. I love like doing the deep dives. I think it's really interesting. And it feels like a game. It feels like a puzzle. And so if we can remember that the whole point of life is to live it, as you said, and it doesn't have to be that serious, I think that that helps to make the experience of healing feel more approachable as well.
Every person who has ever found that in like insane amount of success, it's because they believed they could find that insane amount of success. Like, how many people do you know that you've ever like heard say like, oh, I got here because, you know, I didn't think I could do this. And then all of a sudden this happened to me. Or it's like, won the lottery, like they bought a ticket because some part of them thought that they could win the lottery. If you were somebody who thought I'll never win the lottery, then you would never buy a ticket. Like, yeah, a lot of people would buy tickets and be like, oh, I probably won't win. But there's still a part of them that thinks like, but they could win. Like, that's why they're buying a ticket, because they could win, right? So you still have to take action on the things that you want. And you'll never take action if you don't believe that your action is serving a greater purpose.
I love that. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that, you know, we covered so much, and it really, like, my main thing is that it has nothing to do with the food. And when you are willing to go deeper into the subconscious, into those layers, the healing is so possible. Everybody gets to and deserves to feel free with food, feel comfortable in your body. I really believe that food freedom is your birthright, and it's less about learning how to do something new and more about excavating and digging through a lot of the conditioning. Food Freedom Collective is my main program that teaches you how to do this using 5 steps. The first step is identifying what those subconscious roots are. The second step is doing the rewiring and the reprogramming. Step 3 then moves into our conscious thoughts. So like dealing with, coping with guilt, emotions, stress eating, anxiety. And step 4 is what I'm really known for, which is opening up and awakening your intuition. So I like to say that we have to put the intuition into intuitive eating. And this is where more of that spirituality comes in. And then step 5 is taking aligned intuitive action. But that becomes very, very easy to follow through, to take the action, to know how much to eat, when, where, when. Your subconscious mind is wired for success. Your conscious mind is programmed for success, and you have your intuition to guide you. So that's the 5-step process, and it really can be quite simple and straightforward once you know where point A is, which is step 1, identifying the subconscious roots, and you're going to get to step 5, intuitively eating, eating with love and intuition, with a lot more ease when you heal through those deeper layers.
Yes, I love that. I will put that information in the show links for anybody who wants to check it out. And where else can people find you if they want to?
So my Instagram is where I mostly hang out, which is Sloan Elizabeth. My podcast is The Sloan Elizabeth Show. And all of the links, programs, free consultation calls can be found on my Instagram, or you can always send me a message.
Amazing. Awesome. It was so great connecting with you. I can't wait to share this episode. I think it's so important for food healing and just in general. Like, I think you could take what we talked about today and literally apply it to any aspect of your life.
Agreed. And that is so fun. And that's the magic of it. It's like a 10-in-1. So thank you, Megan.
I appreciate you too. Thank you so much. Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Take care.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you're feeling a bit lost in the world of manifestation, that's okay. We've all been there. But guess what? Your breakthrough is just a click away. Introducing the Neural Energetic Manifestation Blueprint, your foolproof step-by-step roadmap to manifesting your dream.
Designed for those new to manifestation or those who are feeling stuck, this blueprint is packed with neuroscience-backed strategies, journals, workbooks, and bonus tools to kickstart your journey to abundance. Don't let uncertainty hold you back. Take the first step for just $7 and start manifesting your best life today. Find the link in the show description.